I want us to look today in chapter 1 of the book of Galatians. Chapter 1 of the book of Galatians. We've been looking at this book on Sunday nights. I want us to look at this morning together. And what Paul is doing here, the book of Galatians, at least one false teaching has came into the church. And what has happened, at least one teaching that they were believing, was that Jesus Christ and His death, and accepting His death by faith alone, was not enough to save a soul. And the false teachers had come in. The false teachers were teaching that you had also to believe and to trust and to rely upon keeping the works of the law. And the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to tell them the truth and to wake them up and let them see what God and the gospel is actually like. But Paul has to do something before he can do all that. Paul has to defend who he is, because the false apostles, the false prophets who had come in to this church, to the churches of Galatia, were saying probably that Paul was not a true apostle, that you don't need to listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He was the disciple, maybe, of the other apostles, and we too, we are disciples of them, and we know what they say and what they have taught. And what Paul is doing here early on in the book of Galatians is Paul is defending his apostleship. Now, Paul is not defending his apostleship for his pride and for him to look good. Paul is not doing that. But what Paul is doing is defending his apostleship and defending who he is and the fact that God has taught him and the fact that God has called him to be an apostle. Paul is doing this not for his benefit, but Paul is doing this for the benefit of the churches of Galatia. And Paul's argument is this: listen, God has saved me. God has taught me. As God, as Jesus Christ taught the apostles while he was physically on earth, so did Jesus Christ teach me through revelation. Paul says, I am not an apostle. I am not a disciple of Peter or John. And Paul says, I am just as much a disciple and I am just as much an apostle of Jesus Christ as any other apostle. And his main point is this: listen, I am called of God. I am sent of God. I am an apostle of God and you must listen to me. That's his point. He says, don't listen to the false teachers. Listen to me. Not because of just, I'm a mere man. But God has called me and sent me into the ministry and has called and sent me as an apostle. And I speak the very words of God. And Paul's point is this: listen. Listen to me. Listen to my words. Listen to what I tell you. They are the words of God and they are the gospel of God. And here in verse 18, and we're going to look at verse 23 and 24 this morning. Let's look at these verses very, very briefly. He says in verse 18, he says, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now look what he does not say. Paul does not say, I went up to Jerusalem to be taught by Peter. Now no doubt Paul and Peter learned from each other. But Paul's point here is, after 3 years, and this is probably looking back to the beginning of his conversion, after 3 years, I've been a Christian for 3 years, and now I go up to Jerusalem, and I spend 15 days with Peter. And his point is this: I was not discipled by the Apostle Peter. I was discipled by Jesus himself. Verse 19, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Now what does he mean there when he says in verse 22, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ? What he was saying, Judea, Jerusalem, that area, what he was saying is, the places where the apostles were well known and the places where the apostles had preached and had been in and the churches that they had preached to and so forth, they did not know me. they had not seen my face. And what Paul is saying is, I didn't learn the gospel from the other apostles. What he is saying is, maybe as well, I was not taught the gospel by these other churches in the area. What he is saying is this, I was taught the gospel by God Himself through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And his point is this, I am just as much an apostle as the other apostles, and you need to listen to me because I know what the gospel is, I know what truth is, and I know who God is, and you need to listen to me. And now we get to verse 23 and 24. And though the churches in Judea, though they had never seen Paul, and though they did not know him, they had heard of him, though. Look what it says here in verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 says this, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now what I'm getting ready to say can be a very dangerous thing to say, because it can be misinterpreted, and it can be twisted, and it can make us view God in such a way that God is not presented to us and God has not revealed Himself to us in the Bible. But today, I want us to consider, Lord willing, with the Lord's help, I want us to consider that one way that God gets glory for His name is by our past sins. That, like I said, can be a dangerous thing to say, because what does that mean? What does that look like? What does that mean for God? How does this look practically in our lives as Christians? That God can get glory to His name by our past sins, by forgiving the sinner and by using the sinner. God gets glory from our past sins. Now, what does that mean? I want us to consider that together today. And the first thing I want to consider is this, that God does not cause us to sin, nor does God want us to sin. God does not cause us to sin. All the sins that we committed before we were saved, and the sins we have committed since becoming Christians, God did not cause us to sin one time, nor does God want us to sin. I want us to see that very clearly at the beginning. Now, who is writing this letter of the Galatians? It's the Apostle Paul. And who was the Apostle Paul? Well, he was a Jew. And who were the Jews? The Apostle Paul speaks about them in Romans chapter 9, in verse 4, 5, and 6. And he's speaking about the Jews. And he says about them that the Jewish nation had the covenants, that the Jewish nation had the promises, that the Jews had the glory. They had the presence of God. That the Jews had the law. They had the Word of God given to them. They knew what God said to them. The Jews had all these blessings. And then Paul gets to verse 6. And he asks the question, has the Word of God failed? And this is what he's getting at. The Jews had the Word of God. The Jews had the promises. The Jews had the presence of God. The Jews had all these blessings. And now the Jews are not saved. And Paul asks the question, has the Word of God failed? Has God's promises failed? Is the Word of God to none effect, the Bible says? Is it no good? God promised all these things to the Jews and all these things to the Israel. So the Jews thought in their thinking. And now has God failed on His promises to His people? And Paul says, no, He has not failed. All Israel is not Israel. And then later in that same chapter, chapter 9 of Romans, Paul will tell us why the Jews are not saved. And the Jews, he says in chapter 9, verse 31 and 32 of Romans, are not saved because the Jews refuse to be saved the way that God offers salvation. They refuse to believe in Jesus by faith, and they chose to be saved by the works of the law, and they rejected the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Jews aren't saved. And why do I say this? I say this because God did not want the Jews to be lost. God did not want the Jews not to be saved.
God did not choose that the Jews would sin against him. God did not want the Jews to sin against him. No, God gave them all these blessings. And then the Bible tells us why the Jews are not saved. They are not saved because they have rejected the way of salvation. They have said no to God. They have said, Lord, we will not listen to your prophets and we will not obey by faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, we will not do this. And God says, I did not cause them to sin. I did not make them and I do not want them to sin. But God says, they have sinned out of their own choice and they have rejected me out of their own freedom. They have said no to the gospel and no to my son. And that is why they are not saved. And in the same way, God did not want the Jews to sin. God did not cause the Jews to sin. And Paul was a Jew. God had not caused Paul to sin in his past. God had not forced Paul. God did not want Paul to sin. In fact, Paul says, the Bible says rather, that, or Paul probably says also in one of his testimonies in the book of Acts, that he was kicking against the pricks. What does that mean? It means that God was dealing with his heart. That God was convicting Paul. That God was prodding him, if you will. And God was convicting Paul. And God was leading Paul to do and to obey him. And the Bible says it is hard. Jesus said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What does that mean? Paul was rejecting the conviction of God. You see, God did not want Paul to sin. God did not want Paul to be lost. God did not desire Paul to sin. God did not cause Paul to sin. In fact, God wanted him to be saved. And God was convicting Paul. And he was convicting, he was kicking against the goads, kicking against the pricks. God wanted Paul to do something, and Paul said no to God. It was Paul's fault that he has sinned against God. Paul says in Romans 7 that the law came, and I died, and sin revived. What does he mean by that? That he was doing just fine as a Pharisee. And then the law of God came and struck him. And the law of God showed that he was a coveter. Now, Paul kept the outward law blameless in one respect. That's what the book of Philippians chapter 3 says. Paul was blameless in one respect to the law. And yet at the same time, God spoke to him through the law and God showed how sinful he was and how sinful and rebellious his heart was because Paul was a coveter. And Paul was revealed to him his sin. Listen, God did not cause the Apostle Paul to sin and to persecute the church in his past. God wanted Paul to be saved. God was dealing with Paul. God was working in Paul. God wanted Paul to be saved, not to sin. Paul chose to sin out of his own choice. And we today do the same thing. When God convicts our hearts, God shows us a path to go, God warns us about something, what is that? Is that God telling us to sin? Of course not. What is that? It's God saying to us, do not sin. John says in 1 John, my little children, I write these things unto you so that you might not sin. God does not want us to sin. No, God wants us to be saved. He does not cause us to sin. Now, it is true in the Bible. The Bible speaks of God as a potter. He speaks of a potter imagery and clay imagery. And it is very true that God is sovereign and God is in control. We do not want to say no to that because it's true. God is in control. And yet, I just want you briefly to consider what the Bible says in Jeremiah verse 18. Listen to what it says, using this potter and clay imagery. Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 6, look what the Bible says. It says, O house of Israel, this is God speaking, cannot I do with you as this potter? Now listen to what it says here. Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. God says, you are in my hand. As the potter's hand, the clay is in the potter's hand. Verse 7, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. God says, out of judgment, he wants to pull down, he wants to destroy a nation, he wants to destroy a kingdom, and to do away with it, to destroy it. But in verse 8, look what he says. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent. And repent does not mean God has sinned, not at all. It means God has changed his mind. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. God says, out of judgment, I'm going to judge this nation. However, if this nation turns from its evil way, I will turn away from my judgment. Verse 9, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, to do good to it. God says, I'm going to do good to this nation. But look what he says in verse 10. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good, or turn away from the good, wherewith I said I would benefit them. And then he says in verse 11, now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. God's coming with judgment. But look what it says next. And devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. God says, I do not want to destroy a nation, just to destroy it. God says, out of judgment, I'm going to pull down and destroy. And yet if that nation turns from its evil, I'll bless it. He says, if the good man, if the good nation that I want to bless, if it turns away from what the righteousness that it's doing and turns to the evil, he says, I will pull down. God does not cause men and women to sin. God does not want us to sin. God wants us to turn from our evil and to come to Him and to be saved. And in the same way, the past sins of the Apostle Paul were not caused by God. God did not want him to persecute the church of the living God. In fact, Jesus says, when Jesus appears to him in the book of Acts on the road to Damascus, Jesus does not say, why do you persecute my church? But he says, why do you persecute me? For when Paul was persecuting the Christians of the church of Jesus Christ, Paul was actually persecuting Jesus himself, because we are part of the body of Christ. You think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created by God. No sin nature. No sin. God said you can eat of any tree that you want to except this one tree. And someone may say, well, how did they sin if they had no sin nature? And some may even say God had to cause them to sin to start His plan. But that is not what the Bible says. For Ecclesiastes says this, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And this surely applies to Adam and Eve. God made Adam and Eve upright, and they sought out the evil that they did. God does not want us to sin. And as Christians today, when you look at the Bible, and you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when God speaks along these lines, the Bible speaks along these lines, and it says, "You, the temptation that we all face." Now, every one of us in here are tempted in different ways. And yet the Bible says the temptation that we face is common to man. And it says that God is faithful, that He will not let His people be tempted beyond measure. But with every temptation, the Bible says, God shall give us a way out of temptation. God has never forced His people to sin. God did not force Adam and Eve to sin. God did not cause the Apostle Paul, nor did God want the Apostle Paul to sin. But the past sins of Paul and our past sins were not because God wanted us to sin, but because we chose to sin. I want us to see that at the beginning. God does not make, God does not decide, God does not force, God does not desire, God does not cause us to sin. We choose to sin. I want us to see that at the very beginning. Now I want us to consider something else. Look back in verse 23. I want us to consider this, that not only does God not cause sin, and not only does God not want us to sin, But God forgives sin. God is a forgiving God. Look what it says in verse 23. And we can infer as much from this. It says this, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, now," that word now "preacheth the faith which once he destroyed." The Apostle Paul has had a great change. The Apostle Paul, who once persecuted the church of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, who once hated Jesus Christ and hated God's ways, truly. Now, he would have said, "I love God," but he was worshiping a false god at the time before he became a Christian. The Apostle Paul, who once tried to destroy the faith of Christians, is now preaching the faith of Christians. What has happened to him? God has forgiven him. God has changed him. God has done a work in his heart. But let me warn you, every outward change that happens to man, every great outward sin that maybe someone you know, who that they give up, they give that sin up, they turn away from that sin, every time someone does that, it doesn't necessarily mean that God has forgiven them. Now, what do I mean? The devil, this is what I believe, this is very important to see. The devil will sometimes allow a person to give up an outward sin. Now you say, "No, wait a minute. Why would the devil cause someone who doesn't know the Lord?" Maybe the devil has this person, the devil has all sinners. We're slaves of sin, the Bible says, before we're slaves of righteousness. We're a slave to the devil. If you are not a Christian this morning, you are a slave of the devil, the Bible says. But the devil has this man, and say he's enslaved to lying. He's enslaved to stealing, let's say. He's just a thief. He's enslaved to this. The devil will at times, I believe, loosen his grip in one sense and allow this man to stop being a thief. Why? So this man can start to trust in himself for salvation rather than trust in God. This man says, "You Christians say that you need God to change. Well, I changed on my own. I was enslaved to being a thief. I was enslaved to stealing. I was enslaved, you name the sin. And look, I've beat it myself. I didn't need the help of God." And the whole time the devil has allowed him to beat this sin, so to speak. Why? So this man will not say, "I need Jesus to save me and to change me." The devil is pulling the blinds and the wool over your eyes and over this person's eyes, so this person thinks he doesn't need God because he has beat this sin, he thinks. Listen, the devil would be happy for each and every one of the sinners in Dixon County and so forth, each and every person who does not know the Lord, the devil would be happy for them to live in the world's eyes, a clean and upright life and not become a Christian. Listen, the devil doesn't care how you go to hell as long as you go there. You can go there in gross and outward immorality, or you can go there in one sense, with a clean life before the world, and everybody thinks you're a good neighbor, and people let you babysit their kids and so forth. The devil doesn't care how you get to hell, as long as you get there. And just because we have changed something on the outward does not mean our heart has been changed. Now, we know from other places in the Bible that Paul's heart had, in fact, been changed. How do we know this? Because, for one way we can know this, everywhere and every person that has the forgiveness of sins, there's something that always comes with the forgiveness of sins. Every person, any place where the forgiveness of sins are at, the love of Jesus Christ is at. The Apostle Paul once hated Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul once hated the church of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wanted nothing to do with them except to find them and to arrest them and to bring them before the authorities or whatever he had in mind and whatever his intentions were. The Apostle Paul hated Jesus Christ, and now the Apostle Paul loves Jesus Christ. And I say to you, every place where the forgiveness of sins are found, the love of Jesus Christ is found in one's heart. Paul had a great, great change. Have our hearts changed? To not only do we turn away from evil in one sense, and not only has our life changed on the outward, it must change if we are Christians, yes. But has the love of Jesus Christ been in our heart? And can we say, though at times in the Christian life our hearts are hard in one sense and cold toward God, I do not deny that. But can we say that in my heart I love God, and in my heart I love Jesus Christ? For if we are forgiven, we can say this. Now we've looked at that God does not cause people to sin. God does not want people to sin. We've looked at that God forgives sin. If you're lost here this morning, God can forgive you. And anybody that tells you anything different is lying to you. God can forgive your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin, the Bible says. But now I want us to look here about how God uses our past sins for His glory by forgiving us and by changing us and by using us. Look what it says here in verse 23 and verse 24. How does God use our past sins for His glory? Look what the Bible says. Verse 23 says, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed," or once he tried to destroy is the thought there. And look what it says in verse 24. "And they glorified God in me." Now why were they glorifying God because of the Apostle Paul? Well, we would say that anybody that we hear about being saved and now preaching the faith of Jesus Christ, now in the ministry, now preaching, we should thank God for them, shouldn't we? And that we should praise God and we should glorify God for them. Yes, so that's absolutely true. And yet it goes much further here. Because look what it says of Paul in verse 23. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past." Again, God did not cause Paul to sin. God did not want Paul to sin. And yet think about the person Paul used to be. A hater of God. A hater of Jesus Christ. In one sense, outwardly he was a no sin, as far as some eyes could tell. But inwardly he was a horrible sinner. He hated God. He wanted nothing to do with the true God, in one sense. He was ignorant as well. He was so sinful. He was so much against the people of God and so much against the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet look what they say. "Now preaches the faith which once he tried to destroy." What was going on? These people had heard about Saul of Tarsus. These people had heard about the life that he lived. These people had heard about how horrible and how much hatred that he had in his heart. And now God has saved this man? And now this man is preaching the faith he once tried to destroy? And then in verse 24 it says, "And they glorified God in me." What had God done? God in His wisdom had used the sin of Paul's past that God did not want him to commit. God in His wisdom had used the sin of Paul's past to bring praises unto His name. How great a God must this God be that we serve, to save a man who once was against the church and once hated the church and once had nothing to do with the church. What a great God we must serve who has saved a man like this. And not only has God saved a man like this who hated the faith and hated God. But now God has saved this man, and not only saved him, but now he is using him to preach the message he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God for that. Why? For one, God had saved a man. God had called a man, yes, but they were praising God because what a man the Paul used to be. And how could God, what a God we must serve to save a man like Paul and use him to preach the gospel. And God does the same thing in our lives. And we should know this. God does not want us to sin. God does not cause us to sin. God hates the sin of our past. And yet in God's wisdom, He uses the sin of our past for His glory. Just think about it in our own life. We that are Christians, we think back maybe sometimes about our past life. And we think about how awful we were. We think about how sinful we were. We think about how many years we wasted. We think about the sins we once joyfully, in one sense, gave ourselves to. How we enjoyed our sin. How we wanted our sin. And how we thought nothing of God. No, we may have never said, I hate God. But what else is it to ignore God all of our lives? What else is that but hate? We hated God. We wanted nothing to do with God. We loved our sin more than we loved God. We didn't think God was interesting. How can we think God is not interesting if He's God? We were dead to God. We hated God. And we think about our sin, and we think about the times that God dealt with us and God convicted us, and yet we said no to God. No, 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 no to God. And we think about all our past sins. And now we think, as a Christian, what a God we serve who can save a person like me. What a God must we serve who can forgive us, the sinner like me? What a God do we serve that can cleanse me and cleanse my heart from all these evil thoughts and desires, all the sins I once enjoyed, now I don't want anything to do with, and God has changed my heart? What a God do I serve who can do that to my life? And what happens? We praise God for what He has done. But we also praise God from where He has brought us from our past sins. And our past sins lead us to glorify God. We that are Christians, we think of our Christian life. And we think, even as Christians, the sins we've committed, even as Christians. We think about how awful at times we've been toward God. How disrespectful, how sinful. How our hearts have been cold, how we've been indifferent to God, even as people who have the Holy Spirit within us, how we've neglected God. We think about these things, and then we think, what a God we serve that can forgive a Christian of their sins and continue to do so in the blood of Jesus Christ. And what happens? We praise God for what He's done to us. We praise God for how He's cleansed us. And we praise God because of the past sins that God has forgiven. Now, isn't that beautiful? And isn't that lovely? That God can cleanse and God can save and God can get honor and glory from the sin that He hates, but in His wisdom, He knows how to work everything out for His glory. Now, this is something important. This is from a preacher I read after once. It's a very, very good point. I want you to listen to this. We're speaking about our past sins here. We're speaking about how great God is for forgiving us and how God gets glory from our past sin. But if you're here today, you've come to God truly, and you have really repented of your sin, and you've trusted Christ to forgive you, and you are serving the Lord today and loving the Lord and walking with the Lord, and the devil brings up your past sins to you, as he does from time to time, or as we're just walking along and we see something, the devil has his hand involved, I believe as well, but still, we see something that reminds us of who we used to be. And the flesh, or our mind, or our heart, or the devil, or just memory, whatever it might be, brings up a past sin. What begins to happen? The devil starts to make us feel miserable for our sin. The devil hangs that over in front of us, hangs it over our head. tells us about how horrible we once were, tells us even as Christians how awful we've been. Let me tell you something. Like this preacher said, at times like that, do not fall into depression. Now, I do not deny that when we think about our past sins, we should regret them. All the time we should regret them. We should feel bad about them. Even at times we should mourn over them still. I do not deny that. But don't stay too long there. Because what the devil will do is to take your past sins and hang over your head the sins that God has forgiven, if we are truly forgiven, the sins that God has forgiven, the devil will take these sins, hang them over your head, and make you go into a depression, make you go into doubt, make you just feel miserable and want to keep you there. But as this preacher was saying, when we think of our past sins, what should we think about? We should think about rejoicing. Why? Because God has forgiven those sins. And what a God we serve who has forgiven us of our sins. Yes, I feel bad. Yes, I even at times should mourn, I think, over my past sins. Yes, I just feel horrible about what I've done. But I do not want to stay there. Why? Because I'm not there anymore. And when the devil makes us think about our past sins, it should cause us to rejoice. Not because of our sin, of course, that we committed, but because God has forgiven the sin. When I think about my past sin, it should cause me to praise God. And the devil's plan is foiled. The devil's plan is reversed. The devil wanted me to mourn and be depressed and to be miserable and to go around my entire day feeling horrible and just like I'm just a lost sinner again. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to stop serving God. The devil wants us to forget about all the people here and all their needs, and the devil wants us to start just thinking about ourselves all the time and feeling miserable. But listen, when the devil reminds us, if we are Christians and if we are forgiven, if the devil reminds us of our past sins, let it be a time of rejoicing because God has forgiven them. And what a great God we must serve who can forgive our sins. Listen to me, you that are here, you've repented, you've come to God, you've been forgiven, you're following Him now with all your heart by His grace. You that are here now, do not let your past sins stop you from serving the Lord. Do not let your past keep you from rejoicing. Paul had sinned horribly in his past. Paul had sinned even after becoming a Christian. He says, I have yet to attain to where I want to go. He was not perfect. The Apostle John in the book of 1 John, roughly maybe 60 years after he had become a Christian, is still saying in the first chapter of 1 John that if we say we are without sin, we are liars, we're lying, we're deceiving ourselves. Why? The Apostle Paul, even after being a Christian for maybe around 60 years and an apostle and knowing Christ personally, physically, and feeling and touching Him, the Apostle John still sinned. But listen, yes, we should mourn for our sin. And yes, we should regret the sins that we've committed. But if God has forgiven us, let us praise God for that. And let us not dwell on our past that's been forgiven. Let us press on toward the mark. Let us press on closer to God. Let us go on to God. And when our sins come up that has been forgiven in our minds, let those sins be a prod to us to go to God and say, God, what a sinner was I, but God forgave me. And praise the Lord for it. Let it be for when people see our lives, people who have known you, maybe there's people in your past, they have known you and they have known some of the sins that you committed. There's people in my past who know some of the sins that I've committed in my past. But let us live such a life now that when they see our life and they know us, they can say, look at so and so and look what they were in. Look what they did and what they did not do as far as righteousness goes. Look at their past. Look at them. But look at them now. And let them look at the lives that we live now and what God has done in our heart and let them say, what a God they must serve. Let us live our lives in such a way that when people see them who had known our past, they can say, what a God they serve. A God who can forgive that kind of sin. He can forgive my sin. A God who can use a man or a woman or a boy or a girl like that after what they did. That's a God who can use me like that. Oh, praise be to God. Do not let your past forgiven sin stop you from serving God now. Do not let your past stop you from serving God today and in the future. It is a trick of the devil. It is a lie from Satan. It is something that the devil would want you to do, to stop serving God, to stop loving God because of what you've done in your past that God's already forgiven. Listen, who among us can condemn if God has justified? God has forgiven. God has cleansed. God has done away with our sins if we have come to Him truly. And I hope that's what we do today. You may be here with a burden of sin. You may be lost with a burden of sin. Give that burden to the Lord today. You may be a Christian here today and you have a burden of sin. You've been disobeying God in some area of life. Give it to God today. Live your life and live our life in such a way that when men and women see us who had known us in the past, they, like the people who had heard about the Apostle Paul, will praise God for the great and mighty God that we serve.